So, welcome to the Cop TV Club. Today we have Lisa.
Hi.
We've got Alex.
Hey.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And myself, Justin. Fringe is what we're looking at, and that's part of the Supernatural Investigation series that we've been running, but this is a bit of a special because normally the classic Cop TV Club looks at pre-2000s, and this one is a series that ran from 2008 to 2013. Fringe is a bit of an interesting one because it's sort of a culmination of all the previous things that we've seen, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would agree if...
if you knew what it was.
Yes, if I knew what it was. I'm the only person here who has not seen a single episode of it, so I've got no idea what's going on.
Lisa, have you seen much of Fringe?
Yes. So this was recommended to me listening to Will Anderson's podcast. He used to rave about it a lot on Tofop and Fofop and what have you. And Fofop is actually... this was Fofop, which was the fake version. And I kind of when they keep going on about this show, I'm going to have to see what this is about, and so started watching it and got hooked really quickly.
Yes. Okay, so Alex, you haven't seen it at all?
No, I vaguely aware it exists. I was aware that it aired on television when it had aired on television, but I hadn't actually seen any of it. I'm aware of the vague premise of, like, it's a supernatural thing. It's like doing aliens or something, but I got no idea what the show's about.
Well, you'll find out in a second. So, Jeanette, have you seen much of this?
Like Lisa, I started watching a few years ago and was instantly hooked, really hooked on it. And I don't often get that hooked on a TV show.
Yes.
Like I did with B5 and I did with Doctor Who, so yeah. Fringe is up there. It's one of my all-time favourites. Absolutely loved it. We watched it recently and that was really good because I started watching midway through the second series, I think, and then re-watched some of the previous episodes, but I hadn't actually watched it all in sequential from beginning to end. So it was really good re-watching it recently from beginning to end and getting a little bit more of an idea because it's quite complex.
Storylines are very complex.
Oh, they can be, yes. So I've watched quite a fair bit of it. I guess for those who haven't seen Fringe before, Fringe is short for Fringe Science. So the whole show is about all sorts of strange things from parallel universes to strange metamorphoses of people. And it's got a little bit of gore in it sometimes.
Just a touch.
So we had to select our episode fairly carefully. But I guess Fringe Science is one of those things that is a culmination, I guess, of all sorts of themes like Frankenstein. Mm. It has the sort of same kind of FBI investigative look that a lot of the previous things we've looked at have had. We're looking at a season 1 episode 20, which is There's More Than One of Everything. They have arc and non-arc episodes, and this is one of the arc episodes, I guess, especially since it's the end of season 1. It also introduces some of the themes that are pretty prevalent throughout the series.
So do we need to put a spoiler warning out now? There's going to be spoilers.
There will be
everywhere.
Sprinkled all through. Okay, so on with the episode.
Yeah, let's hope I can understand what's going on.
You'll love it. It'll be great. Let's do this. It'll be fantastic.
Okay.
On with the episode. So that was More Than One of Everything, the season 1, episode 20. And, yeah, what did everybody think?
It was okay.
Just okay. He's watched episode 20 and not episode 1 first.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
Yeah. That's the thing. Cause like, I think the most annoying bit of it was, like, the stuff where it's supposed to be the connection between the man and his father. It's like, I'm sure it's supposed to feel something, but I don't know anything about these characters. So it's like...
Yeah. Two of those were Australian. So Anna Torf is Australian. And so John Noble.
Yes.
John Noble Perry. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's South Australian.
What character did he play?
Walter.
Oh, okay.
The older guy. Yeah.
So he's well known for playing Denethor. And he was State Theatre
Director.
Theatre
company for many years.
Okay.
So.
When I saw him in this for the first time, I had no idea it was Denethor. Lord of the Rings was new, and this came on, and I watched this and did not make the connection at all. They were so different.
I've only really seen Lord of the Rings once, and so it wasn't a connection for me. But now, after seeing him in Fringe, it's like I see him in everything. He was in Sleepy Hollow, and we're watching that for a while, and it's just, he pops up in all these things, and we get all excited. He's our, I don't know if you know, like with your sci-fi, you've got Mark A. Shepard who's in everything. He's our Mark A. Shepard at the moment. So.
Sure.
And there was Joshua Jackson who's from Canada. So this was
very international.
Cast. Mm. Yeah, and he played Peter. Yeah, so you didn't sort of quite catch all the currents of the show.
Yes, I think because of it, you're explaining, like saying, oh, hey, this character is the Watcher who's owning them. Like, okay, cool. Yeah.
It doesn't mean as much.
It's the thing, like, in the context of the episode, like the actual plot line of they're trying to get a thing to the ultimate universe. And she ends up in an alternate universe. Ooh. Nothing was really easy to catch.
There was a real ooh when I watched that for the first time. The thing. Don't mock my oohing.
That's the thing. Like, okay, I'm an editor now. So it's like, oh, I'm in a World Trade Center.
I can't believe you said that. It's like, yeah, I bet that's the World Trade Center. I'm like, I was really excited when I saw that for the first time.
That's the thing. Okay. I just assumed, like, okay, what twist could they do? Oh, okay, it's a twist of they're in New York and suddenly it's the World Trade Center. So I just guessed it. It's like, okay.
So for the listener, that involved an attempt by a bad guy. Jared Harris is the actor, and the bad guy is trying to get across to another dimension.
Yeah.
And eventually he failed. He got cut in half.
Yeah. And I didn't trust beams like that. Like, and this is a safety thing to make sure you didn't get cut in half. I will not try that, please.
go through quickly.
No, I wouldn't even trust that.
Yeah, don't just stroll across. You know, make sure you do a good run and jump. Yeah.
Just get flipped across while you're in the lift like she does.
Yeah. I'm sure they've got a separate system so it's safer like that.
One thing about that series, all up, the characters were what really made it.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I don't know anything about the characters. So it's like, okay, there's this person, and they're doing the thing, and it's like, they're basically people, like, devices to move the plot forward, because I don't know any of the characters. It's like, oh, they're doing a heartwarming moment, which I'm assuming is relevant, but I don't know enough.
Yeah. We had to do a few of those with you, didn't we, Alex? Yeah. Where it was just like, oh, yeah, this... So it goes through the themes between Walter and his son, you know, because they were estranged for a long while, and it's like, it sounds corny, but it's actually really good.
And it's like, okay, if I actually saw that, this will probably be really important, but, like, as it's just like, okay, they're doing this music. It's like, okay, they're remembering a thing now. Okay.
So how many times did we stop for Alex to explain? About three times. Too complicated to come to the middle of it.
So you've got to watch some more. Then come back and tell us what you think after watching all of this.
The thing with Angie is...
Even the relationship between Astrid and Walter, and he never calls her Astrid, so he calls her all his names beginning with A.
That's a thing. Like, I'm sure that... So I didn't get any dynamics of the characters at all, because, like, okay, you're supposed to feel this... Like, no, it's just like the character who does the thing and the other character does the thing.
Yes.
And so as a result...
you have to watch a little bit to build up that rapport with the characters, but they're really strong characters, all of them.
Yes.
Broyles!
Yeah. And that was one of the notes I did make, and this was the episode that I really loved. Yes, yeah. The ones that seem like they're the little minor characters all become very well-rounded. Yes. And one of the things I like about Broyles is they spend the first half of the season, it's like he's on first-name basis with the shadowy CEO and, you know, all these different things. You kind of go, oh, I don't know if we can trust him. I don't know if we can trust him. And this is the episode where he kind of goes, no, man, I've got your back. It's okay. You know, we're going to go in this and we're going to do it all, and I'm right behind you. I don't think you're crazy. I'm right there with you. You know, it tips that trope a little bit on its head, where it's not like, oh, the guys in charge are the ones covering everything up like they did in the X-Files.
Yeah. So Fringe wasn't Monster of the Month, was it? It was more Strange Event of the Month.
Yeah, even the monsters, they weren't really monsters.
No. It's more the odd scientist coming in or...
It's like Wibbly Thing of the Week. Like, suddenly one week they're doing chakras. I was like, is that what you mean? Like,
not so much chakras.
I'm just saying chakras to be silly.
Yeah. But, and then even, like, they never did the Little Green Men. It was more like, parallel universes and science gone wrong and that kind of stuff. Yes. Yeah.
Not much in the way of time travel. There was a little bit.
A couple of episodes that dealt with time travel.
But only minorly. Yes. Only, so it's sort of like minor time travel, sort of, you know, back a month rather than nipping back.
Right, and suddenly, oh, hey, it's the 1930s again.
Wasn't and that kind of thing.
There's something a bit wonderful with Fringe where it's not even just as much the binge watch, it's being able to watch this episode and go, oh, I know all of the puzzle pieces that come together that you can only really get watching the second or the third time. Back and get
the road accident that's significant later on.
I've forgotten the road accident, so I'm going to go back and watch
it's next series where it becomes relevant. So it's back, you know, when you're first watching this, you just wouldn't get it at all.
Because
it's like, okay, so they're just nearly avoiding their car, and you're like, okay.
Everybody's getting excited. Alex is just nodding and going, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And Chekhov's gun.
And even Walter's random ramblings that seem kind of random but are actually quite astute and make a lot more sense on the second or the third watch. And you go, oh, everything he's saying makes perfect sense. You just don't actually understand what he's saying.
Or why he's saying it.
Yeah.
The thing, trick with the coin, you see it so often and begins to become meaningful the more you watch it. The coin itself.
I didn't get a good look at the coin what was on it.
Weird. Oh, it's just that he picked up the same coin off the box. The Observer gives him a coin, and the coin's all shiny new, and it's the same coin that he left on the box. So he lifts up the old coin and goes, looks at it, and Peter's not looking, so he quickly hides it.
Okay, so it's not as though the coin's imagery itself was significant.
No, it's just
the same one that Peter had collected as a child. Mm. And there was probably a silver.
They could remember, but he couldn't. It's because, oh, here's from the alternate universe. No, the kid's from the alternate universe, and one of them's...
I'm not telling you anything. there's all these kind of throwaway lines you don't even think about, and then you rewatch it, like... Spoilers.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they're talking and he's saying, oh, when you're really sick, you used to collect coins. And he's like, yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's because he's from the alternate universe. Obviously. That's what's going on.
He's picked it straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm used to, like, oh, this is slightly weird. Okay. I'm assuming it's doing the same things that it always does. And it's like,
Lisa, were we dumber back then? Is that what was going on?
I just dismissed a lot of his ramblings as ramblings. And I now just, I realise that there was a lot more behind that.
I think we might have been more obtuse when we were younger.
I think it's also the fact that, like, this is from a...
Alex is picking it all up.
I think this is from, like, a decade ago, and so, like, the kind of stuff that this... It's the same kind of thing as, like, you're watching the old edgy comedies and it's not as edgy as stuff today. We're watching the old drama stuff and it's not as dramatic as stuff today. Yeah. It's like, this was a plot twist back in the day, but it's not anymore.
Yeah, but it's not anymore because it's been done.
Okay, what kind of twist would they get? Oh, this thing. Okay, I'm assuming that because it's a dimensional travel thing and just assuming that it's going to be weird like that. And if it doesn't turn out that way,
Remember, it's the same with Night Stalker, wasn't it? We watched that episode and it was Monster of the Month and it all seemed bright and shiny back then.
Yeah.
but now you look at it and you go, oh, look, it's this monster.
It's the trope, yeah.
It's the trope.
We were talking about the little interstitials where they show the little pictures and someone online managed to crack the code and there was actually, I think each of those symbols represents a letter, and then I think over the course of the episodes, there's like, it spells something out.
Okay.
Or it spells out, you know, certain words that kind of, And then they, in the later series, people then were able to work out the codes and see what spoilers were coming and things like that. Yeah. I like some of the comparisons between some of the other shows we've done. So we had X-Files and Kolchak and Omega Factor. And one of the things we keep talking about is the expositional stuff. And this show still did the expositional stuff, but it was kind of almost present day, not, well, you know, if you think about this scientific theory and da-da-da, instead it's like, this is what's happening. Though I think in other episodes, Walter does do a bit of that, think about this scientific theory, and then it ends up coming up later in the episode as well.
I think it's also like post-CSI style. Here's the computer and they're going bleep and whoop and zzzz as well.
Yes.
And to make it more exciting than just people talking about it.
Yes. Or they were having two separate conversations and finishing each other's sentences in different scenes happening at the same time.
Things like that.
Yeah, the FBI agents are in the FBI lab talking about it, and then meanwhile Walter and Peter are finishing their sentence in some beach house in Boston. Yeah. Somewhere in Massachusetts.
Whatever, I kind of lost where they were. If it wasn't for the big, like, words on the screen, it's like, okay.
Hey, those words on the screen were pretty cool, though, weren't
they? Like, I also like the fact that, like,
everybody loves them hanging in midair.
Yeah.
It's 3D.
Yeah, it's a bit clever. Yeah. I think Warehouse 13 tried to do that a little bit, but it always came off a bit cheesy.
Didn't work as well.
Yeah.
Warehouse 13
Fringe
was cheesier.
Fringe kind of, I don't know, I can't understand why other shows have never done that before.
I think maybe it's just because the technology has just been good enough to make it look not terrible.
Yeah.
Because, like,
it takes a bit of work.
Because, like, say, Nina's arm was like, this is very bad CGI for today. Because it was too shiny, and so it looked really artificial. But back then it would have been like, oh my goodness. I'm sure that these words in the sky was, like, very new. And,
and
it would have been the first time to actually have the motion tracking to make it look realistically there as well. Because I do know that, like, to get that to work, you need to have, like, the right tracking in 3D. And it probably wouldn't have been good enough until then. So, yeah, it's new, exciting, and they want to do it to make it look cool, and it looks cool.
It does look cool, even though it's been, what, 10 years old?
Yeah, probably like half of the stuff we're watching. It's like, if we did it today, it would be easier. So it's just part of, like, the style of the show. It's like, now the words are in the middle of the air, much the same way that...
Have you watched all 5 series?
Or... Yes.
Okay, yeah. And what do you think about the differing series? What, like, first series was the end of the one we just watched.
A little bit to be 5. So the first series is the intro series.
Sure.
A lot more just independent episodes in the way there is in B5. And then you get to full-on story arc in season 2, 3 and 4. This one really odd writing choice, and I won't describe it, but it's almost slightly, and then they woke up and it was all a dream kind of thing. I found it a little strange that they did
that. The Black Betty episode?
No.
Brown Betty or whatever. Oh, no,
Brown Betty was great.
I like that Brown Betty.
Really funny episodes.
That's like the Fringe version of the Buffy all singing, all dancing episode.
Yeah, except they're all in the past and Giles is a singer.
He actually is a singer. He studied music and has a degree or, you know, something in music. So it was really great that they actually tapped into the actor's background in that episode. But I love that one. Now, I'm talking about, is it beginning of season four?
When they do that. Yeah.
And yes, it works, but it's at the same time, it's like, I'm not sure I really...
They did the universe reset, didn't they?
Yes.
So this is something they did.
They did a couple of times, actually.
Yeah. Recently, The Fringe was early up in doing that.
Yeah.
And it did that in the beginning of season four, wasn't it?
I think it was.
And then by the end of season four, they weren't sure if they were going to get another season, so they finished it off.
Just like B5 did, and it's always B5 before Lisa.
No,
that's the thing, because like it's like B5. Okay, I get it. So it's like this.
So season five is a fifth wheel.
So I was thinking it's like Jeanette's transcending a bit for me, because I know about B5 quite a bit, and Lisa's probably like, okay, is this gonna happen? But watch B5, I'm sure.
I know what you guys mean, because I've seen season five of Fringe, and I guess it's one of those things like the ultimate jumping the shark, where you're always foreshadowing something and foreshadowing, not quite having the answers, but trying to grasp the answers.
Yeah.
Season five, you suddenly got the answers and you kind of feel a little bit anticlimactic and disappointed.
Yeah.
But it's not quite what
and
you
and
want.
And it's just a direct battle. It's just a big battle.
Yeah, there's no ambiguity.
Yeah. The ambiguity's mainly gone. Yeah. There's some good stuff in there. There's an episode where Peter transitions to become an observer and then back again. And that, you know, that's quite good for the character. It works really well. But overall,
it's almost like a different TV series altogether. Mm-hmm. And I think I watch it as a different show, and I probably appreciate it better.
Yeah.
But if you watch it as a fifth season of Fringe, you kind of a little bit.
When we got to the end of season four last time I was rewatching it, I will watch season five maybe another time, but not now.
Yes.
I didn't want to watch it after watching season four.
Yes.
Because, yes, it's like a different TV show.
You need a palate cleanser.
Yes, that's right. So I watched
Big
Five.
Something trashy.
Yeah. I didn't watch season five of that either.
One thing
I do like about, not so much the resets, but because we're dealing with parallel universes, of course there's the same actors playing
the same characters,
but those characters are completely different.
And don't they do a wonderful job, all of them?
Particularly Jessica Nicole, who does Astrid, her version of Astrid in the parallel.
But even Olivia is subtly different.
Incredible. Your Waltonets, and I don't know, there's not one for Peter, but all of them, like the same people playing the same characters, but not in a ridiculously different, but just very well acted, very good character development. And it's almost a bit like a reset, like you were saying in that sense, because you've literally got a different universe and everyone's playing everything different and the dynamics are different.
A more sci-fi setting.
The actors, some of the characters are Boyles. You understand Boyles in this universe better when you meet Boyles in the other universe, because there's enough parallel in their life story and you can see where they've diverged. You can see, oh, that's why Boyles is such a kind of stitched up, reserved. Now, you understand him better when you meet his alter ego.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. You will when you watch it,
Yes. There's a season two character called Lincoln.
Lincoln Lee.
He's quite good. His character development with the two universes is good as well. Yeah.
Okay, so that was Fringe.
Yeah.
There was mixed reviews.
It's not bad. I'm just not sure it's going to be like enough for me to actually be convinced to watch the entire rest of the thing. I mean, I'm kind of curious, because like the plotline's going to be kind of weird based on what you're saying, but like maybe not. I don't know.
Trust me. Start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Watch it from the beginning. Yeah. Trust me. We want to come back. Trust me. I don't say it often enough.
No, this is true.
I'd like to come back. I'd like you to watch it, see what you think, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it. And then if you are completely disappointed, then I will wear that. But you won't be.
We do have another one to convince, because Angus and Gypsy are going to watch this in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear from Gypsy, who's never seen this before either.
You can tell her there is no... What was it? She doesn't like the paranormal...
So she doesn't like the gore splatter.
Yeah.
Oh, the gore.
Well, like the people being the people being cleft in half. Yeah, the people being cleft in pieces.
It's not that bad in this episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them are there.
But yeah, I mean, because Walter plays a sort of Frankenstein-like figure, he's quite often seen eating his peanut butter sandwich over the top of a corpse that he's dissecting.
Okay.
And so he'll be there sort of chewing on something while cutting some individual up, then saying, "Does anybody have a butter mint?"
Yeah.
Or something like this.
I think also just like those scenes of people being cut in half, it's just, I know, something just looking gnocchi to me, just that the concept of like, and suddenly the half your body's gone, yay. Weeds me out a bit.
Okay, so I think we'll call it there.
Yes.
And that was Fringe, and we'll see you next time for an episode of The Young Ones.
Yay. Yes. Bye.
Yay. See you then.
See you.
Ciao.